Hi everyone, welcome back to the Fowler Hour. On today's show, I'm joined by Samuel Aobami. I think that's probably the first time I've said his surname correctly in the entirety of the show that we recorded. But he's a really lovely dude from Nigeria who helps brands largely in the e-commerce sector with not just with branding, but also with paid traffic as well. So helping them create a beautiful brand and get sales too. So on today's show, we talk a bit about what it's like to be a designer from Nigeria, his grander vision for the future, and also a little bit about his design process along the way as well. Today's show is brought to you by Design Cuts. Now, Design Cuts is probably my favorite asset and digital product store on the web. Why? Well, because they curate all of their products. So we're talking typefaces, textures, toolkits, the whole lot, all under one roof, under one perfectly curated roof. You're not going to be finding products on here that haven't been checked and verified. It's all pure quality. Now, regularly they're doing bundles. Now, these bundles can be typefaces, they can be mock-ups, they can be texture packs, they could be illustrations. I picked up an amazing etched vintage pack a few months ago, and obviously regular typeface packs as well that can include some of the world's most famous typefaces and your new favorites as well. Now, to check out the latest Design Cuts bundle, potentially saving yourself thousands of dollars, head to cfowler.design or click the link in the show notes from today's show, and it will take you directly to the latest bundle. By clicking through that link, you are helping to support the show, and I really appreciate everyone who does that. Now, let's get on with the show with Samuel. Hello, and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today, I'm joined by Samuel Aobami. I still can't say it. Aobami, there we go, we'll go with that, of Barmy.brands from Instagram, who you'll probably know for his glorious smile and absolutely brilliant content he's been sharing very recently. I brought him onto the show today to talk a lot about being a designer from Nigeria. I'd like to touch on that, but I'd also like to hear more about his own story, because where you're from is not your whole personality. We don't want to focus on that entirely in the show, but we want to make sure we dive into other topics as well. So how are you doing today, Samuel? What's going on?
I'm awesome. I'm doing great. It's Saturday. Yeah. The weather is very cool. So I'm
awesome.
Fine.
Awesome. And it's nice to hear that this is the first kind of interviewee podcast that you've done. So don't feel like you're going to be super pressured into answering super strict questions. This is not like a show you might see on TV. Let's just kind of roll with these punches and see where things go. So can you give the people at home who maybe don't know too much about your content, where you're from, maybe a little bit about your background and what you're doing in design?
Okay, so once again, my name is Samuel Aobami. I'm from Nigeria. I'm from Ogun State. That's the west side of Nigeria. And the way I got into design was I went to the university to study computer science. But then I didn't end up liking programming or coding. So the only choice I had, or let me say, I just gave design a try, because prior to my university days, I kind of had an idea about how CorelDRAW works. So, you know, since I didn't have any other option, so I just decided to give learning another vector software program a try. So, and then I fell in love with design, and you know, that's how it just started. That's late 2016 or so.
So you've only been doing this kind of a couple of years, on and off, but have you been making content and sharing what you've been doing since then? Have you kind of just dove straight into it? Or you working a bit kind of in behind the scenes, trying to learn and things like that?
Okay, I actually do a lot of work behind the scenes. But then at the same time, I started sharing immediately. And if you actually scroll down my feed on Instagram, you will see some nonsense works, really. from the start. More trying to duplicate, design same thing as other designers are kind of inspired by, you know. And, make reference to them as well.
But that's a good place to start, for sure. To be able to dive in and go, well, I'm new at this, but I'm going to share what I've been doing and share your journey is really important, because you don't want to just turn up on the scene and be trying to show off and show you're better than you are, because people very quickly find out that you're just new.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's how it just started for me, basically.
It's interesting go on.
So, and then another thing is that, you know, I think what helped me is that I didn't actually study in Nigeria. I went to Ghana to study because in Nigeria, there are a lot of, you know, the government is very, the way they do their things is very, it's very crazy. And stuff like having constant electricity, it's not like that here. But then in Ghana, so I actually had like that time to like stop going for lectures and just focus on learning, you know. I think that's what helped me a whole lot.
So when you were at university, was that a university in Ghana?
Yeah, university. Yeah. I went to university.
So what did your lecturers think about that? And you kind of not turning up? Was it a case of they knew what you were doing and they were like trying to push you to do your own thing? Or was it, you need to come to every lecture, like what you're doing?
Yeah, you need to go to every lecture. And then I think another thing is I actually like had a group of friends that kind of like, we're not going for lectures together. So we're kind of like pushing our thing by the side because the school had nothing to offer.
Right.
To me especially.
I see. You know. That's quite a common thing, I think, when you find that going into just, it doesn't have to be university level, but at any kind of level in education, you'll very quickly find that you don't fit. You might find that you love it or you don't fit in. And I was the same. I was 16 and I was in college, so end of high school years for American listeners. And I spent every single free lesson, every single break, every single opportunity trying to learn Adobe Illustrator because I just didn't enjoy history anymore. Like, I loved it when I was a kid, but I don't like it anymore. Like, I didn't want to learn biology. I didn't want to do all this stuff. So you very quickly find that you want to do your own thing. And the fact you were proactive enough to go and learn those things is a really good skill. Do you think that's helped you now?
It has, like, honestly, it has really helped. And it has helped a lot, a whole lot. So I'm very glad for, you know, missing those lectures.
Yeah.
I'm being on serious in school. Yeah. Very grateful for that.
For sure. So how have you then transitioned from going to school to where you are now? Have you had any like in-house jobs in design, or has it just been a case of you've been working on your own thing and building it out kind of like I did?
Okay, yeah, I've been working on my own from the very start. The reason being that if you see the African countries, like especially Nigeria and Ghana, nobody values design.
Right.
So you can like, it's just so cheap here. They don't actually like lay emphasis on it. It's very important there. So I knew that from the start. But then when I started, I didn't know I was going to be working on this full time. More like, I didn't know I was going to be making money from it. So I kind of like just was learning how to design stuff because I hated going for lectures. Or I hated programming or coding. But then after I started learning, and then I started getting to know about the American market and, you know, the white guys now, about how there's so much value. You guys actually place a lot of value on design, like looking good and branding and those kind of stuff. So I started like focusing more on the market outside West Africa or Nigeria, or like Africa as a whole. So, and then started making sure I looked like someone that has, someone that that doesn't have the African vibe in a way. Like the kind of work that I'm pushing out, I made sure that like my work doesn't look like a typical Nigerian work. You know, there's, if you notice like Nigerian designers, you will know that they have like a style to them. So I kind of like got out of that. So like make sure I look like a standard designer, you know, an expensive kind of like designer.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's where it was coming. That's what my next question was gonna be. It sounds like you've assessed the marketplace around you and gone, this is not a place that you wanted to be.
Yeah.
So you've kind of positioned yourself. And I mean, until I asked you what time zone you were in, I didn't know you were from Nigeria. Like, so it's not, but I don't think it's anything to be, I don't think your heritage or where you're from is anything to be kind of ashamed of, but I think you're right in that people in from what I've spoke to about, I spoke to, who did I speak to? I spoke to Noah yesterday, Noah Osas, and he's, I believe his parents are originally from Nigeria as well. I'm going to edit that in later, I've got that wrong, but I think they are. And he was explaining a similar thing, which is that people don't value design. And why do you think that is over where you're from?
Okay, I would say the reason why this is like that is because, you know, Nigeria is like a developing country, right? So they are still, how should I say, like, it depends. Let me say it's solely based on the cultural, like, how we are structured culturally. Like, you know, like, an African man doesn't actually, like, just see, like, designing as, like, a design as something that should be, of high value. And they just look at it in a way that this is, like, if you're a designer, for example, you are doing a worthless job in Nigeria here. So, but then the thing is, for the past 1 year or 2 years or so, like, the whole thing has been changing, right? Everybody's starting to come to the realization that we have to, like, you have to get your branding done. Like, you know, the market is kind of, like, realizing now, and they've started, like, placing a lot of value into, like, you know, making sure they look good and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's just based on the culture, on how we are structured culturally. That's what I was saying.
I think potentially then, is it due to just having other priorities or other kind of desires to achieve something? Because I know when I was talking to, I talked to Bless and Arun from India quite a lot about this. And obviously I spoke to Noah yesterday about this, and he was saying that the fact that it's a developing country means that people's priority for achievement and like where they want to go on their, particularly Noah was saying that his grandparents were super, super interested in making sure he was a doctor or a lawyer or a, because they're like stable jobs. They're like something seen as reputable. Did you feel that kind of pressure growing up then to do something in those fields?
Okay. I didn't feel that kind of pressure from my parents. And the reason being that in high school, right, I was this kind of person that immediately after finishing high school, I didn't know what I ought to be. So I kind of like applied for petroleum engineering because I was a science student, petroleum engineering. And I wrote like an exam in Nigeria here, but I failed, right?
Right.
But then I was this kind of person that I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know which course to go for. Like, but I just know that I wanted to be something more like in the future, that kind of thing. But then I had this kind of parents that they didn't actually care about, how should I say, if you want to be a doctor or an engineer, that kind of thing. They just care about you doing your own stuff, right?
Good.
And my parents, they are not educated people. So you understand. So maybe that is the reason why they're not educated, like, I mean, like in school aspects now. They didn't go to school, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the things that kind of helped me, you know, because I figured that the highly educated people in Nigeria actually lay so much emphasis on like being a doctor, being an engineer, stuff like that.
Yeah, it puts too much pressure on you then, because I think when you've got that, even if your parents don't understand exactly why you're doing the field or the career you're doing, but they can see it makes you happy and it's making you enough money to survive and all this type of stuff, then that's the best thing that you could ask for, really. I mean, you can have parents who are creative, but then it's the same thing as having parents who are doctors. Like, they'll just push you into that thing, and you've got to find your own path.
Yeah, that's right. You're definitely right. And then for the fact that, you know, I finished school last year, and yeah, exactly. So I moved away to my own place, and then I've been, you know, doing fine since then. And so my parents kind of like see this and be like, wow, okay, this is really cool. And then for the fact that in Nigeria, the rate of unemployment is very high. Like, you see a lot of people finish school, but then they have nothing to it because there's no job in the country. But then they kind of like see, they saw that, wow, this guy just finished school and then he moved out of the house and, you know, he's surviving on his own. So I think what he's doing is actually very good.
Yeah, I bet your parents are very proud of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think they're really proud of it as well.
So,
yeah.
So do you sustain yourself living by yourself just on your design projects?
Yeah, I do. That's how I sustain myself.
Awesome. That's really great to hear that you've been able to get enough success through your website and through social media and your reputation to be able to do that. Now, when it comes to building up that reputation, you said you literally finished school last year. So when did you start posting stuff on Instagram? Was it and started sharing content? I'm trying to go back to your bottom of your feed. It says the first post I think you put out was, unless you've changed it, the 16th of February 2017. So just over 2 years. So for the last year, you've been posting stuff and doing it kind of full time. You weren't in school. Yeah.
So I started posting stuff around that time. But then I'm not so sure that post, like that last post was my first post.
Yeah.
I said, I started this whole design thing late 2016. So you see, like I started posting almost immediately when I started. Right. You get what I mean? And yeah, so the question you were asking is how have I been able to build up the reputation, right? Okay, you know, what I found out is that, like I started getting a lot of the reputation, I started building up my reputation when I started like showing my cultural side of things, like showing to people that being a Nigerian is very cool. Like an African is very cool. And if you notice that even my process videos, the kind of songs that I use, they're more like Nigerian songs, like Yoruba songs, because I'm from the Yoruba tribe. And so when I started showing this aspect of, you know, like this side of who I am, I kind of like started building up that reputation. And I started getting messages from people like telling me that, I actually knew that, like we found out that you're Nigerian because of the kind of songs we kind of like posted on your Instagram feed.
Oh, amazing!
And that's really nice. And so, and also, I started showing my face more often on my Instagram stories, right? And for the fact that the way I sound, it's kind of like different from everybody. So I think that kind of thing kind of like got people interested in who I am and what I do. And I'm very glad that's just how I started building it up.
Yeah, and it's so great to see that you have such an engaged audience. I love looking through your comments, and I love looking through. You made a post the other day that was saying like, "What would you like to learn more about from you?" And the comments on there are all lovely. Like they're all super positive. You've got a really nice audience and people around you. How do you think that came about? Do you think it's just your personality shining through there, Samuel? Like, or what? Because you are like a lovely dude for sure. So do you think it's just that? Or do you think it's maybe you've got some fans kind of looking up to you from Nigeria as well? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I think this is how it is. You know, how should I say? I'm kind of like that Nigerian that is kind of like different from a lot of people.
Yeah.
So like mixing the fact that maybe people see that I actually do some really good work, right? And then mixing my personality with it as well. So I see a lot of Nigerians look up to me for what I do. So when I shared that post on Instagram, and if you look through the comments, you'll see that I'm kind of like focused on the Nigerians right now, like bringing them on my journey and, you know, trying to like show them, how should I say, show them that we can do this, right? Try to show them that being a Nigerian doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you can't actually like have that international connect, stuff like that. And when I shared that post, people got really interested. And, you know, and Nigerians especially, so that they can be able to learn a lot from the journey and, you know, trying to, like, not fit in into the Nigerian market right now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's very necessary. I think building up the reputation is there are just two sides to it. The good works that I've been doing, right? Sharing my process and what I've been learning, and you know, and adding my Nigerian personality. Yeah, three sides to it. That's what has built up my reputation, really.
And it makes a massive difference having like an audience that is also partly from where you're from. Like, it makes a big difference. Like, I know most of my audience is from the States, but I'm from the UK. Like, so you kind of get those little differences between the two. But having fans from Nigeria, having audience members from Nigeria must be quite humbling for you to be able to be like, you're helping people who may otherwise have never even known that they could do this. Like, never even known that they could make money from design.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that is actually my ultimate goal.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's more like have that platform where like help the Nigerians, right? And Nigerian designers or anybody, right? So help them know that it's not like being a Nigerian really doesn't actually stop you from doing anything, right? It's as long as you kind of like believe in yourself, stuff like that, and you put in the work, right? And yeah, so that's just the goal. That's the goal. And another thing is I'm very glad that the audience that kind of like engage with me, they are mixed. They are like, let me say, like over 50% of them are from the US, right? And like, and the remaining are Nigerians. And it's kind of like amazing to see that the kind of audience that I have are like mixed within this two different culture. How should I say, two different cultures? Because I actually also have a lot of Americans reach out, or people that are non-Nigerians reach out about them liking what I do and, you know, getting inspired, stuff like that. And really, that's the reason why I'm kind of like very humbled, like, and smiling every day.
Good. So what does a typical day look like for you then at the moment? What are you working on? Like, what's going on? Because if you're in your own place and you've got all this freedom to kind of run your own business and do this type of stuff, what does that look like for you, like on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, so on a day-to-day basis, you know, I told you about Nigeria being that country where it's like things are kind of like very hard right now. It's really hard, like stuff like having stable electricity. It's really hard. So what I'm currently doing is from Monday to Friday, I work from a co-working space, right?
Oh, nice.
So I usually go there from like, I think from like 9 a.m. till like 6 thereabout. So I can like cut out the electricity aspect because there's a lot of money that's been spent to make sure that the light is stable. Right. And so from like day to day, so when I get to the co-working space, like this is how I work, right? I wake up like very early in the morning, like 5:30 to 6 thereabouts. So when I wake up, I kind of like, I pray, like I do my morning devotion because I'm a Christian kind of person. So I'm a great believer. So after praying, you know, reading through my devotional, and after doing that, I literally just like plan my day. So I actually, how should I say, for client work, right? I do that in the morning. I do client work in the morning, very early in the morning, because I find myself to be very productive around that 9 to 11 a.m. When it comes to the afternoon time, I'm not so productive, right? So I make sure that I do the client's work in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I like make content for Instagram.
Good. Right? That's really cool.
For Instagram. Yeah.
That's cool.
And another thing is right now, if you see on my Instagram, the way I kind of like share my content right now is that I make sure it's very simple for me to like go about it. So you can see that I make like up to like 7 posts from a project to make sure that I kind of like don't waste too much time on creating content for Instagram every day. Like just share like, just like spend like 1 to 2 hours to make Instagram content, you know, to make sure I focus on making money and servicing the clients as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's just how my day
is. That sounds good though. It's nice. It's really interesting to hear that you kind of resonate with the idea of being more productive in the mornings, because I'm not sure whether you've heard of or watched. Do you watch any of the Joe Rogan podcasts or anything like that? Have you heard of Joe Rogan? I'll send you some stuff afterwards then. He did a podcast with a sleep scientist called Matthew Walker, who was basically saying that I will get to the point to saying that you are, most people are typically productive before like 1 or 2 p.m. And then when you hit like 2 p.m., you hit like a weird slump, and then until about 5, and then you feel like you want to be productive again. And it's just like a supernatural thing. So, and most people don't talk about it or even are self-aware enough to say that, yeah, I'm most productive in the morning or I'm most productive at this time. But it does help a lot, like to have that routine, to be able to, obviously you wake up and do your devotion in the morning, which is a great routine to have. And then obviously later in the day, you're making sure you set out these specific blocks each day. Because I think a lot of creative people, especially when you work for yourself, they feel like they have all this freedom during the day, but they never know what to do with it. And often people find that having that much freedom is not good. It's not productive for them unless you set like a strict schedule.
Yeah, that's right. Although, like, how should I say? You know, like I said, the way we are structured culturally in Nigeria is very different. So, and I've noticed that. I actually have like my routine in my calendar right now. But then there's some days where you kind of like just break it, because what, Nigeria is a hard country.
Yeah.
Things just happen. And when those things just come up, they just like stop you from doing what you planned to do during the day. And so you just have to prepare for all these things. And you know, and the advice that, like, how should I say, for this aspect, like planning out the day, if you're a Nigerian especially, the advice I will actually give is that don't be too harsh on yourself when you don't like do everything that you actually planned for the day, because the country is kind of like messed up and things can happen. So don't just be too hard on yourself. Unlike let's say the UK or the US, for example, right now, you know, things are really structured perfectly, right? So usually when this kind of days, like when I have this kind of days, I'm not usually very hard on myself. I just let it go and just try again the next day.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not always going to be a bad thing. Like sometimes you'll be, I can imagine this has happened at some point, but I don't know the extent of how bad things can get. But even just not having electricity is something that many people don't even realize is a potential problem, because you work with computers, like you work with a laptop, you work with the internet. Like if you don't have electricity, you don't have those things.
Exactly. So,
when that happens to you, obviously it must be a real pain in the butt, but to be able to take that break must sometimes be quite relieving. Like you've been told by the electricity board that you're going to stop working now and you go and do something else or read a book or go for a walk. Do you find it kind of, although it's annoying, is it ever a bit stress relieving to be able to like, oh, I can't do it, therefore I'm going to go and do something else?
It's, how should I say, it's mostly annoying.
Yeah.
Honestly, from
is it, is it point. Like constant then? Is it like a consistent problem?
It's constant, like it's every day. And let me say that's another reason why Nigerians are actually affected. Nigerian designers are affected. Because one, when there's no power, you don't actually have you don't get inspired to do anything, right? Even when you start thinking about how hard the country is, you actually just start thinking that I can't make anything out of this whole thing I'm doing. So I feel like that as well almost every day, right? But then, like I said, I kind of like solved that problem by working from a co-working space, right? In a way, there's always electricity there. So
yeah, so. And you're also surrounded by people who are. Is it like a creative working space, or is there just like other business people there?
Yeah, there are other businesses there.
Yeah. So you're surrounded by other people who have a mission as well. So you're not kind of being bogged. I can understand how much impact those negative thoughts would have, and all the bad things that are happening, and lack of electricity and lack of amenities can like pull your emotions down. But being surrounded by other people who are creative or business owners or have missions, does that help kind of lift your spirit and feel driven?
Yeah, sure, it does. It sure does. And then, because one, another part why that actually helps is because most of the people working in the co-space as well, most of us can relate to the whole thing going on, to all the things going on, right? So when you start sharing stuff like that with yourselves, you kind of like feel relieved because there's somebody that can relate to your situation. And yeah, that's the reason why we're here. So yeah, it helps a lot.
Do you think it would be worth recommending to other people to go and work in a co-working space? Because I know that a lot of people who would listen to this show either work from home with their family around, or they just kind of work by themselves. Do you think it's made a big impact on you then?
Yeah, it has. It has. And especially, I highly recommend this to Nigerians, right? Nigerians especially. You have to, if you really want to like push this, this design thing, you have to like make sure you cut down on, how should I say, make sure you cut down on hindrances, stuff that can actually hinder you from thinking forward. Electricity is that part, is one of the things, right? So if you kind of like cut down on that by working from a co-working space, you actually have like some problem solved, right? So I highly recommend it anytime, any day. Recommend it.
It's not just the point, like that's two good things, obviously. Just in general, I really do think that co-working spaces and, well, not all co-working spaces, because I've been to a few in London and they are just nightmarish. They are so loud and so so brash and so boastful, like they're trying to be like a big thing. Whereas I think a co-working space where it's a bit calmer and people are focused and like they have the things that they need is a really good idea to help you be productive. So now that you've come out of school, man, you've got your own place, you're working in a co-working space, things are moving forward. What's been your favorite project that you've worked on up to this point? Do you have one?
I'm not so sure I actually have one. But then, how should I say, I make sure that the reason why I'm not so sure I have one is because most of the people I work with, I carefully select them, right? Because I like to work with people that actually have interesting projects and then that can relate to me being a Nigerian.
Okay, yeah.
Right. That's a very good aspect. And then, and that's the reason why most of the people I've been working with have been enjoying the projects like all the time. Or the demand of the project. So I don't really have like a favorite kind of like project.
Well, that means that everything's good, which is good. Like that's a good thing. Yeah. Cause if you talk, if I ask that question to lots of other people, they always have stories. Cause often when you say, what's your favorite project? Well, people go, well, my least favorite project and the one that I hated the most was, because they're not doing what you're doing, which is they're not being super selective. They're not, again, this is something that I was talking to Noah about yesterday, was that people are afraid to be selective. Mm. People are afraid to ask questions that would help them understand whether the project's going to be a good fit. So when someone contacts you, obviously you've got your website and things, but so people come through your website to contact you. What kind of stuff do you ask them about? How are you selective? What's the process?
Okay. So this is let me just tell you about my process.
Yeah,
right? If you're reaching out for the first time, you have to like go through my website, right? And then on the website, on the contacts page, I kind of like give some questions, and the good part about the contacts page is that I got my web designer friend, right, to help me construct it, like to help me code it in a way that after answering the questions, you'll be redirected to my calendar straight up to actually book a consultation with me, right? So, and then the consultation is more like that. It's the consultation call is more like that call where I have to like qualify you to see if we're going to be a good fit or not, right? And then, so when I after qualifying you, right, then I know that, okay, we're a perfect fit. And so let's work on this.
And that's right. So that's worked out really well for you.
Yeah, it has worked out really well for me. And then another thing is that if you want to be selective, if you actually want to be selective, you have to like have like a form of conversation with the people you want to work with. I think that's the only way you can kind of like be selective that should be the only way you can kind of like be selective. Because one, if you just have like people like answer questions on your website, more like go through a form and then just jump straight on the project, most of the time the people you might be working with, they won't actually be the kind of people you want to work with. But then if you have that initial conversation with them, right, discuss about their business, about them, about what they want, and you know, just see that, okay, this is the kind of person I want to work with. And that way you continue working on the projects that you love, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that's what has helped me. And another thing that has helped me is having like a process in place, like systems and processes. And that's more reason why I said I'm not like structured in, like my business is not kind of like structured in a typical Nigerian way, right? And that process alone, like my process alone from start to finish, actually like my clients get interested in it a whole lot. And they see that, wow, you're Nigerian, but then you're kind of like doing things like an international person, right? And so stuff like even like having a project management tool that kind of like lines up my process from start to finish, with like sharing that with my clients alone, that alone is just so crazy. Because what I found out is that most people just like let's say if you're working with a client now, right now, you end up like just send back a lot of emails back and forth, right? Just making the process not collaborative and interesting enough. So I kind of like cut that out of my process, right? To make sure it's a very collaborative process. I usually tell my clients that I'm this kind of person that after working together, you might want to be a designer as well for yourself, because the process would be too enjoyable. And, you know, I actually show you my cultural aspect of this as well. So like you might want to be a designer at the end of the day. And yeah, so just looking to build that relationship, like more like work with people that you're friends with, kind of. And yeah, so that's the thing that's really helped a whole lot. Not having that client designer relationship.
Yeah.
But then like having a relationship of partners, like friends.
Yeah. That's what you should be doing. Like so let's go and go into this for a second. There are two kind of ways that I see most people communicating with their clients. So regardless of whether you've like had this initial consultation or whatever, let's say you've just got this client. The two ways I see it are like the way you've described, which is kind of what I try and achieve as well, which is to build some kind of relationship and partnership, and that you allow them to have not like an act. It's really difficult because you don't want to be like, oh yeah, that they come in and they like draw over the sketches and all this stuff. No, they probably don't do that, but yeah, they are more involved than just sending emails.
Exactly.
Now, a lot of people will just, they'll sign a contract with them. They'll maybe have a call with them, and then they'll disappear for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then they'll pop back up like a meerkat with an idea and a presentation, and they'll present it, and the client is, and they wonder why the client doesn't know what's going on, or they're confused, or they don't really like what's happened, or because they've not explained the process properly. They've not sat down and gone, this is what we're doing. I personally don't have like business. I don't use like Asana or business management software to show every step, because I think sometimes things go wrong or things change, and I don't want to be like, you know, ticking off a tick sheet and letting them see it, because that's a bit much. But
yeah,
what do you think about the problems are with just having these, just sending emails back and forth and not like actually trying to build that relationship? Have you tried that in the past and run into problems with it, or did you always try and build a relationship with people?
Okay, I've actually tried sending back and forth emails in the past.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. right? And then another reason why I kind of like transitioned into the, how should I say, building relationships with people I want to work with is because in Nigeria right now, I'm sure you've probably heard about this, about a lot of Africans scamming people, right? And then if you are this kind of, if you're a Nigerian and then you are merely sending messages out to the people you want to work with, especially if the person is not from, if they're not from Nigeria, it's, you are just like, you know, that is a big problem as how people perceive Nigerians, how like the white guys or like the Americans or like people abroad, how most people perceive Nigerians right now. Because I've actually, like, this is something I've experienced myself, right? And you have to, like, make sure you cut down on how you are perceived. Or how should I say? You have to make sure you put process in place where you kind of, like, show people who you are, right? So they can kind of, like, know that it's not everybody from Nigeria that is, like, a scammer, right?
They're not stereotyping you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you're sending emails back and forth, one, even if you are not a scammer, like if you don't scam people, right? Even if you don't scam people, but then just sending back, just sending emails like that, kind of like, once clients find out that you are from Nigeria, they kind of like get stunned off automatically, even if they don't like know who you are or something, right? But then if you build a relationship with them, if you actually like have them have a call with you initially, you guys should have a call. That way, you build a relationship and you might more like change their mindset about how you're perceived. That's part of the reasons why, that's one of the reasons why I look to build relationships with people that I work with, right? Because one, as a Nigerian, you have to like work like 20 times harder.
Yeah, definitely. I completely see that. And it's something that I probably don't consider as much in this process, is it's not the ability to build a relationship with someone through the internet, as in through calls and things like that, is extremely important. But also talking about jumping over a lot more hurdles of trying to make sure you're not being stereotyped as a Nigerian.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I can imagine on those first initial calls, some people has anyone ever reacted kind of badly to that, or you've had to change their mindset, or has anyone kind of turned around and been like, we weren't expecting this is amazing, like they've loved working with you? Because I bet you this, because if I spoke to you, if I put in the contact form, I didn't know you're Nigerian or anything like that, and we get on a call like this and we start talking business, I think within 30 seconds I'll be like, this guy knows what he's talking about, like we can work with this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's just the main. How should I say? That's just the main reason. Like once you jump on that call with them, you have to like let them know that you know what you're talking about, you know what you're doing, and for the fact that like I said earlier, for the fact that you're a Nigerian, once you start showing people that, like international clients for example, now once you start showing them that you know what you're doing, then they kind of like have that, you know, trusting mindset that okay, this guy is clear. I've had like, you see this conversation that we're having right now, I've kind of like had a lot of people just tell me that, hey Sam, I'm going to work with you because of how you are, and you know,
good,
like because of that first call.
Good.
Right? It's like I said, as a Nigerian, you have to like work 20 times harder. Like how should I say, it's what it is, right? Everywhere is already messed up. There's nothing you can do about that. But then if you can like make sure your process kind of like cuts down on the problems that happen right now, you'll be a winner.
And well, hopefully that's kind of the path that you're on by the sounds of it. And it's a really nice thing to see that you've taken on these challenges with such positivity, and that's driving you.
Yeah, exactly. And another reason why I actually, how should I say, put this process in place, because I've had like past clients talk to me about, you know, this scamming thing when I was sending emails back and forth, right? Like, you know, I'm sure you've heard about this story, right? So when I was sending emails back and forth, and I got a couple of people message me that, send me back a message that you're Nigerian, I can't work with you because of this scamming stuff. So I didn't actually feel bad about it, because if I felt bad about it, there's nothing I can do about it. So no. I needed to change my process to fit, you know, to fit this, like to actually to solve the problem, right? And you know, that's just my number one advice. Because one, as a Nigerian, there's nothing you can do about it. There's just nothing you can do about it. But then you can like fine tune your process to show people that you're not a scammer.
That's really sad to hear, but at the same time, you probably wouldn't have wanted to work with those people anyway.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't blame those people. I don't blame them. That's just how it is. I don't blame them. And once you, like I said, once you start having that call with them, even if they like, if you have a call with somebody, for example, they can't actually tell you in your face that you're a scammer.
Yeah.
Right. After having that call, but then. You know, it's just what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. It's sad, really, but then that's just the situation.
Yeah. Well, let's pick things up a little bit, because that's firstly, those hurdles are really difficult to get over. But I'm so glad that you found a way to get around it, or to kind of minimize it as much as possible. So
yeah, exactly.
Kind of the last thing I'd love to talk to you about is, what are you wanting to do next? What's kind of your future plan here? Because you've said you're wanting to bring together more designers from Nigeria and show people kind of how to do that. But what's your big mission? Do you have one?
Yeah, I have a big vision.
All right, come on, spill the beans. Let's hear it.
A really big vision. So my vision is, at the end of the day, to like actually help Nigerians, not just designers now, actually help them like do what they want to do without having to work that 9-to-5 job, right? Because in Nigeria right now, like I said, the way we are structured culturally is that most people, like most bosses, they kind of like shit on their employees' faces, right? The reason being that the country is hard right now, and you know, there's no job. So if you're actually working a job, if you are working for somebody, that means you are lucky enough to be working for that person, and the person can like do anything he wants to do with you, right? But then the internet like takes that away. And my vision is more like to show Nigerians that the internet is actually beyond just like watch, like going through Instagram posts and laughing at jokes, right? To show them that they can, it's not necessary you end up working for people that will shit on your face right now, right? And then like you can be what you can own a business, like not necessarily design business online right now, and you can connect with as many people as you want to. That's like my vision. The vision is just like to bring everybody out of that mindset that I have to like work a 9-to-5 job, or like I have to like fit into the situation of the country to actually be to be rich or something, or to make it in life.
you're showing these people a different way, which is very powerful. I think it's a good mission.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It's really powerful. And then right now, I what I'm currently doing is that I'm bringing paid traffic into what I'm doing, right? Because I'm of this mindset that I was able to fall in love with design, right? Not just because not because I knew I was a creative when I was born, but then I was able to fall in love with design by just trying it. And then I'm just 22 right now. I should actually try as many things as I can, right? And fall in love with as many things as I can, right? And then, so that's the reason why that paid traffic aspect came in place, right? And I'm just discussing my mission right now. And when I've had clients reach out to me in the past, like my previous client reached out to me that, hey, Sam, we can see that you are doing so well with your Instagram, you know, your social media. Why can't you help us, like, you know, make sales?
Yeah.
Like, build up our Instagram page. I was like, wow, this is actually a very good thing. How about I actually learn about this and be of greater value to people I work with? And that's how the paid traffic thing entered. And the good part is that it's not like I'm learning how to do social media marketing. I have like people on my team right now that are good at paid traffic. like really good at social media marketing that have do that aspect of things, right? And yeah, so I just know the basics about how everything works. And then I handle the branding aspect of things. So I have people handle the paid traffic aspect of things for clients. And that's more like a way to like have recurring income as well. Because one, as a designer, if you design a logo for someone, you probably might not, that person might not actually need your service like 5 years later, 5 years later. And then as a designer as well, we kind of like look for new clients all the time. Yeah, and then if you have that recurring service where you kind of like you work with someone for like 3 to 4 months or 6 months plus, right? You won't need to start looking for new clients all the time. Because trust me, it's very hard to bring a new customer in, but then it's actually simpler to like deliver more value to people that already built a relationship with you. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I completely understand. So I didn't want to interrupt you. You were explaining that really nicely. It's nice to see that you are of the mindset as well to try different things, because and this is something that I'm going through and learning and stuff about at the moment, is knowing when your skill set is not suitable for certain things, but also how can you help your clients? So it's a case of you need to understand the basics. Like, I understand the basics of web design. Like, I understand the basics of it, but I don't do it. I hire someone else to do it. Yeah. And the same thing that you're doing with that paid traffic is that you're helping your clients be successful.
Exactly.
And this is, and by helping, and this is something people always forget, is that you shouldn't be just trying to go out there to make money, because you can do that, but you'll end up with clients, like Sammy just said, that you do something for them and they won't talk to them for 5 years. What you want to be doing is exactly what you've been doing, Samuel, which is try and provide more value. Because if you help your clients be successful, the money will come. Like, that's what happens. If you help them be successful, you will be successful. And that's how that works.
Exactly. Like, it's just as simple as that. So like I said, I have a very big vision ahead of me. And then for the vision, for me to actually be able to reach that goal, what I have to like have is, I have to make sure my business is structured in a way that I deliver so much value to my clients. And at the same time, I'm actually financially very good as well. Right, because that's the only way I can be able to show Nigerians that, man, you don't necessarily have to like get like have to like work with someone that you don't like working with. Right, the internet is very broad. It's broad, and there's a lot of things you can be doing. And then for the fact that I won't actually be servicing just, I won't be like, my vision is not just to Nigerian designers; it's to anybody. So that paid traffic aspect is actually helps that as well, like, because I just know the basics of how it works. And then, you know, the reason why I know the basics is because when you know the basics, you can be able to explain to your clients how everything works, and then let the person that is very good at it run it for you.
Exactly. That's exactly what, and that's such a good thing to wrap up on. You've got to make sure you know that you know your expertise, but also understand other things that can help your clients.
Exactly. Those know the basics.
Yeah, exactly. You're good to go. So thank you for joining me today, Samuel, on today's episode of The Fowler Hour. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and explain this, and also tell us so much about your culture and what has been going on and how you're overcoming any of the problems that you're faced with. Now, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on, I'm very heavy on LinkedIn and Instagram right now. Those are the two main places that I kind of like, I'm very, how should I say, I work on a whole lot. So on Instagram, you can find me at bami.brands, right? And then on LinkedIn, just search for Samuel Ayobami, and you see my picture with the orange background pop up.
Yeah, you'll see his gorgeous smile on those profile pictures as well. So all of his links are going to be in the description of this show today. And Samuel, thank you so much for coming on. I'd love to have you back on another time to hear how your vision is panning out growing in the future. So, as just to wrap the show up, guys, if you've enjoyed listening to today's show, please head over to iTunes and leave a review, or leave a review on your podcasting app. And as always, we're back here every single week with new people and new designers talking topics that you probably won't talk about or hear from other places. Now, again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Foul Hour. I'm going to stop rambling and ranting this, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much. Bye for now.